Lunchtime Live on News Talk
with Avant Card. Think you're getting the best value from your bank? Think again.
1890 453 106, if you want to get in contact with us here on Lunchtime Live today. Trish O'Neill, though, joins us on the programme. Trish, thanks for getting in touch with us. Tell us a little bit about the situation that you find yourself in, Trish.
Hi, Andrea. Thanks for having me. I have a beautiful, gorgeous, handsome little boy named Connor, and he's 8 years old. And Connor has a lot of struggles at the moment. Connor is autistic. He has an intellectual disability and he has very limited communication. And over the years, he has developed some behavioural issues and challenges. And as he's gotten older, they've become more and more severe. As parents, we've done everything we can to try and help him. But over the last year, we got to a point where we felt that we had done everything that we could do and he needed more support than we could give him. So I worked with my GP and we made a referral to CAMHS. That would have been back in August, I believe.
This is last summer. Child and adolescent, the mental health service.
Correct, yeah. Yes. So a GP is the only person who can refer you there for support. So We went down that route, unfortunately, I say, because, you know, it's not something any parent wants to have to do. But we had to do it in order to try and protect Connor from hurting himself, hurting his siblings, hurting us. And desperation is probably the best way to put it. So the referral went in last summer around August time, and I was given the expectation that CAMHS have a very, very long waiting list, and unless it's a seriously urgent referral, don't expect a reply anytime quick. So I decided to be patient, and up until, I would say, 2-3 weeks ago, I hadn't heard anything. Now, in the meantime, due to COVID, constant chopping and changing in Connor's life, he relies heavily on routine, and he's had no routine, really. His behaviour has escalated. So it put it into my mind that, you know what, I'm going to follow up on that referral and see what's going on. So I did a lot of chasing, a lot of phone calls, passed around, pillar to post, and eventually got speaking to somebody who informed me that, yes, his referral was received, and we rejected it. But we did that last September, and I can see here from the file that nobody actually sent a letter to advise you of the rejection, and we haven't let your GP know or anything. So that kind of threw me back. You know, he had been rejected last September, and here we sit April.
Yeah, just a month after the application or the referral was put in, your son Connor had been rejected for the service, and no
Correct.
One told you.
Nobody told us, so no letter, no phone call, nothing. It was a complete error, administrative error on their part, which sometimes, you know, you can understand these things, but then it's very difficult as a parent when you're going through what we're going through. And also, it was the basis of the referral I found difficult to digest. First of all, nobody spoke to Connor. Nobody spoke to me. Nobody consulted me. It was just based on files. So Connor's clearly just a number. He was rejected as well because CAMHS' take on it was that Connor is being supported by an ASD service in Cork, and really they should be dealing with it. But the thing about it is they've done everything they can do. They've given us psychology support, which isn't helping Connor. CAMHS also asked for an updated psychology or a psychological assessment, which had they contacted us, they would have found out, yes, we've done that now. We can give you this information. So their information is completely out of date. They've rejected him by never even meeting him. The position I know in is I have to start the ball rolling again, and I have to go find all these reports, and I've got to chase it and get a new referral, and it's just an absolute mess. And nobody's helping Connor at the end of the day. So I just feel so let down. We just feel so alone, and it's exhausting because we've just done nothing but fight for everything that Connor's ever gotten. It's just a constant battle to help him.
And in the meantime, Trish, like you talked there about, you know, Connor and just changes kind of in his behaviour because of that lack of routine, really, you know, like with COVID and over the past sort of 12, 13 months, how is he doing? Is he able to go into any, you know, even school or get any kind of services at the minute?
It's just so tough, Andrea, as a mum. So he's struggling is the only way to put it. He's had a tough time in that he's been in a position where he's had no school twice in his life. He's been out of school more than he's been in due to lack of places. And we've managed to get him into a really amazing mainstream school, but it's not the right setting for him. He should be in a special school. And we've been waiting 3 years and we've finally gotten her place now, and we'll be going in September. There's a lot of pros to that, but the cons are he's changing again. Over the year with COVID, like all the other, like he's not alone. There's so many other kids out there in the same position, in and out of school, in and out of school. Complete confusion for him. Where it's left us is that he is a very anxious little child. And if you're anxious or worried about something and you've limited communication, behaviour is your only kind of communication. And he, unfortunately, he does lash out quite a bit. He doesn't understand his emotions, let alone to try to control them. So we're left with a child who can very quickly escalate into a meltdown, and his meltdowns are very aggressive. We're in the firing line, but, you know, we're adults. We also have two other children who can sadly be in the firing line too, and they're younger than Connor, so it's not a good position for them. So I feel as a family, we're very vulnerable. Connor is the priority to help him, but I have to think of my other kids as well.
And, you know, if you, so you'll put in an appeal now, Trish, is that right, into CAMHS for the application?
So, pretty much. That's kind of the nutshell. I'll have to go back to my GP and work with them. I have to go back to the psychologist in our ASD service and get, you know, letters of X, Y, and Z from her, put it all together. I'm the one that now has to do the work, even though this is my mistake. And that's a bitter pill to swallow. And I mean, it's just very stressful. Mm.
And as you said, like even, you know, for your other two kids at home as well, what age are they, Trish?
They're 3 and 5. Okay. And they see an awful lot more than they should be seeing at that age. And we do our absolute best to shelter them from things that we don't want them to see. And we do our best to explain to them, you know, I mean, I want them to be of an inclusive kind of mind frame that he is autistic, but he's part of our family. But when they're that age, you can't give that level of explanation. And I mean, the saddest moment yesterday, actually only 2 mornings ago, I went in to wake my 3-year-old up to bring him to preschool, and he sat up in the bed. And the first words out of his mouth were, Mommy, why does Connor hit you? And I mean, for a 3-year-old to say that, it was very hard not to burst into tears. He shouldn't be even considering something like that. And how do I explain it to him? You know, so it's not just one person that's being affected. It's the whole family. And we really do need support because we're parents. We're not psychiatrists or psychologists. We're parents.
If just to kind of get an understanding of, you know, the services or the sort of, they're just a bit of assistance and help, Trish, that might, you know, better serve you and the family collectively. If you put in the appeal to CAMHS and Connor is approved for, you know, assistance through CAMHS, how would that change things, or how would that benefit Connor?
Well, the ideal for us is that I know CAMHS have a specific team that are focused on those with intellectual disabilities. So that's really where we need to go to first of all. But they won't deal with us until he's in a special school, even though we've told them that we're going in that direction, they won't. But that's kind of the North Star to get to that side of the services. Then really it's about, you know, meeting Connor, meeting us. For me, it's even just to know that somebody's going to meet with us and listen to our concerns and see what's going on. There could be behavioural support. There could be a psychiatrist involved. I genuinely don't know. But it's just right now we're seeing these things day to day and there's no support. We're on our own and we don't know what to do. It's not that we're just kind of hoping somebody will come along with a magic solution. We're years at this.
Connor is 8, did you say?
He's 8, and he was diagnosed at 2.5. So we've had 6 years of learning all about occupational therapy and, you know, behavioural plans and visual schedules. It's not like we haven't tried everything, but we don't know what else to do now. So I guess I guess it would be a behavioural therapist, maybe a psychiatrist could help us. It's whatever we can do to help him.
Like, it strikes me from talking to you, Trish, that, you know, I would have thought that you kind of sit down with somebody who would do out, you know, we've talked here in the programme before to the Minister for Disabilities, Anne Rabbitt, here in Lunchtime Live previously about, you know, kind of having a, if you want to call it a sort of a one-stop shop where you'd come in and you'd sit down with somebody and they'll go through and they do the initial assessment and go through a kind of a plan, basically, or a programme, you know, or the best kind of course of action, and you'd know what you need and what you should be getting and, you know, what you might qualify for. And then, you know, maybe there's a whole different debacle then about waiting lists and times and stuff like that. But, you know, the fact that you're kind of saying we don't really know, you know, what, like, it just seems that it's the initial meeting, I suppose, you really need with somebody.
Well, see, we're a little bit further along than what it sounds like ministers describing. So it's kind of, you know, when you're at the start of an autism diagnosis, yeah, that's the ideal thing, to come in and understand that your child needs occupational therapy, speech and language, X, Y, Z. And that does happen to a degree after many years of waiting. But then, yeah, correct, you're put on that waiting list. And those services may not come at all. They come for drips and drabs. Certainly come in a slight grasp of what. So that's our experience. One last of college in 6 years, had no occupational therapy training stuff properly. So we have done that side of it, if you will. And now the ASD services are moving across to this progressive disability services model. So we're in the middle of change right now and all our files have been moved. This is all coming our way. We don't know what that's going to look like. It's fine to put all these plans in place. But at the very moment that, you know, people in offices and administrative roles are putting all these plans in place, you have parents, families, children and teens and sometimes adults suffering day to day, not getting the help they need. That's the problem. There's lots of great, grandiose ideas, but there's no practical solutions being rolled out on the ground.
Have you been back in touch, Trish, with the HSE, or have you gotten contact even, you know, with anybody in the HSE locally to try and, or even the minister's department actually, to see if they can help you out in any way? We've actually, I should say too, made contact with the HSE ourselves here to see if we can try and find out a little bit more detail for you. And if we get that, we'll certainly be in touch, Trish, and let you know. But have you heard anything at all yourself? Or
I did speak with somebody in Cavan and Cork. The gentleman worked in administration, and I have to say he was absolutely lovely, as helpful as he could be. He sounded like he was disappointed himself, and I think it just shows that there are amazing people in that service, but the system is just broken and it does not work. It's not fit for purpose. So that gentleman has kind of directed me. He said, look, your best thing to do here is to get the documentation that we need, get it sent in. And the one agreement that I've had is that, look, the referral was made in August. The clock does not start again. I wouldn't accept that. So they have agreed to that. So I'm hopeful that if I do the work now and get all the paperwork lined up, that it goes back in and we go from there. But I guess it could become a full-time job in itself,
doing the whole admin side of it.
But it's exhausting.
Yeah, well, look, if we hear anything back, Trish, from the HSE, we'll certainly be in touch with you here from News Talk as well. But Trish O'Neill, thanks a million for joining us on Lunchtime Live today.
Thank you.
Yeah, we've a text in here as well. This listener in 53106 says, as a parent of a 17-year-old with autism, our daughter went into mainstream school. I know now that she should have gone into a school for additional needs at the age of five. We now realise that. Please tell that lady though, not to bother. From my experience, it wasn't any help. This listener says, just a comment on the CAMS and NEPs. I have a daughter that has ASD, which is a high-functioning autism. I also have a daughter who as well is self-harming and needed help right away with mental health services. We've been waiting 4 months and just got an appointment. The services are completely underfunded, and by the nature of the children and teenagers that need help within 24 hours or even within a week at the latest, you cannot tell somebody with a mental health issue that they'll have an appointment in 6 months' time. Please take this into consideration as well. And another listener has got in contact with us to say that children with additional needs in this country are treated as a drain on financial resources, not looked at as an individual or with compassion, but simply as a number in a quota. And if that quota is full, then you don't seem to matter. And Kate has gotten in contact to say, my heart goes out to that lady and her son. I know the battle she's having, as my own son is in the same situation. It's so difficult to get support. I will say, though, that I think the change to a special needs school should benefit him greatly. My son attends a wonderful school and he thrives there. Classes are smaller, completely different curriculum. She should contact As I Am, who give out great advice for anybody with autism. And the best of luck to Connor as well. And that comes in from Kate on the News Talk text line.
Lunchtime Live on News Talk.
With Avant Card. Think you're getting the best value from your bank? Think again.